Hi y'all. So this week when I was reading the English with an accent chapter, the part about vested interests as it relates to the Kahakua case, really stood out to me. So Mr. Kahakua's, was rejected from a job as a newscaster because, the hire said that his Hawaiian accent was not appropriate for the job. And basically they brought in this accent reduction specialist to testify in agreement that it was okay that they fired or refused to hire this guy with this Hawaiian accent. And in this chapter they asked the question, if an accent reduction specialist could not convince the court that Mr. Kahakua's Hawaiian accent was wrong and inappropriate, what would that mean for her career? Kind of emphasizing that everybody has a vested interest in something, and people aren't objective, and that that impacts the way that they interact with people and with their language. I thought this was really interesting with Bix and Kalp distinction from this week, too. In the piece that focused on Cummins, the piece written, by Cummins, they focused on how Bix and Kalp is used in policy discussions, and they were talking about how it deals with funding and instructional support for ELL students and standardized testing, how much ELL students should be included in the mandated high-stakes testing and psychological testing. And especially with the standardized testing, high-stakes standardized testing, and how ELL students are were expected to start standardized testing after their first year of learning in English under the No Child Left Behind Act. That got me thinking about what that meant for the vested interests of the school. So if the schools are required to give these tests to students, even whenever, to ELL students after a year, even if there's data showing that that's really not appropriate, then that kind of gives schools a vested interest in trying to focus on standardized test scores for these students, rather than their whole development in terms of their language and also just as whole students. So then, because of this vested interest, because they're not objective parties in schools, this could interact or influence how they deal with policies in their school regarding ELL students. So maybe instead of trying to make sure that students' home languages are being honored, they might focus just on improving academic, quote, academic English skills, which, you know, is a problematic term in itself, but instead of trying to help the student grow their whole linguistic repertoire as a whole, rather just kind of going forward with the idea that the main goal is to make sure that these students succeed in the high-stakes testing. So it's really supporting the school rather than the individual students, especially marginalized students like those who are classified as ELLs. And then in Flores's critique of the Bix and Kalp policy, he talks about how this distinction between Bix and Kalp kind of requires teachers to be language police who have to surveil and, quote, correct what is considered non-academic language practices from their students. And it's like, even if a teacher doesn't believe that the right thing to do is to correct students, or, you know, or to correct them in a way that fits with, you know, this myth of academic language, even if they don't think that that's the right thing to do, they still have a vested interest in doing that, in that that's what their school is telling them to do, or what policies are telling them to do. And ultimately, they are employed by these people, and therefore they have a vested interest in kind of pleasing the people above them who are hiring them. So I guess that just because of all of these different things with vested interest, whether that's the accent reduction specialist, or it's policymakers and schools trying to appeal to these policymakers, or individual teachers trying to appeal to their schools or policymakers, how important it is to think about what the vested interest might be. So as a teacher, thinking about, okay, I'm not an objective party, so what am I, what are my vested interests, and how might that be influencing how I interact with students? Because ultimately, your own personal interests could go against the interests of your students, especially in an educational world where there's a lot of policies that don't have ELL students them in mind. It's more about, you know, helping individual schools or districts than it is about helping individual students a lot of times. So I guess it's kind of emphasized how important it is to be aware of those vested interests, and to try to think what you can do to push those aside, and also make sure that that's not clouding what's best for your students, especially at the level of an individual educator or an individual school.